I guess I just want to express the admiration for people coming out at a bad weather like this. And okay, we're holding. We might have left off a little bit at the end of Perek Hey. There might have been some inyanim, but it kemat wasn't. It was mostly ishayach to. I mean, we did it kemat all of it, and I want to move on a little bit. In Perek Vav, he starts with an understanding of mitzvahs, and he's going to go for a few prokim, I guess, on the general topic of time and mitzvahs. That's sort of the big topic, but there are many, many different nuances to time and mitzvahs, and so on. And we'll go with him as he goes. And Kedarko, he's mazbe every chazal that comes his way, he's mazbe. But the theme, the points are now going to be the next 2, 3, 4 prokim are going to center around time and mitzvahs. Yesh mine adam veim anshe chokri leiva holchim edakeh philosophim chokri midaitam v'sichlam akol dvarim. There are people who are philosophers and they try to think into different things using their seichel. Tamua b'neim oid b'na mitzvahs ha-maitzias. They have a big problem with mitzvahs maitzias. In other words, the Torah consists of physical mitzvahs. Mele learning is something, or davening even, it's something in the mind, it's something in the heart. You can associate it somehow with an Hashemitika thing. But he says, Tamua, it's a yiskadam atzlocha nitzchis, b'el manditul adem mitzvah shigashmis. It's at the end of the day, a lulav and esrig, how do they come to Olam Haba? In other words, the physical objects. The Umru, and they phrase the question, Kima yoel maisa gashmi la nefesh, liknos adeze, shetichin netzach b'el manivdol, b'mokshin shemaisa gashmi. How can something physical help you in a world that's not physical? It's just like if somebody will take along something in his pocket, in his cave, it's not going to go to Olam Haba. So whatever he did in this world, and as long as it's physical, within the realm of the physical, where does it go to Olam Haba? That's one question. V'yoysim is ematmiyim. They ask a second question. Ilohoya mitzvahs kulam tchunais teves b'nefesh ha'adam. If all the mitzvahs, we would see them, we would understand how they develop some sort of positive middles in a person. For instance, stoka mitzvahs like sisnach ivavecha lo samin al damreyecha ukiyotu amidas atovos shein tchunas tovos avshoises. So those mitzvahs, we say, okay, those mitzvahs, they make you a better person, you're kinder, gentler, and so on. So you can understand, okay, maybe the person becomes a more kind person. So you say, okay, you're a better person if you gave tzedakah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you more Olam Haba because the good likes the good. So we can understand it that way. In other words, manafshach, he says, if killing a behemoth is better from the neck, then what do you do based on migdash? And if killing a behemoth is better from the back, what are we doing over here? Okay, so basically they are asking two questions. First of all, how does physical mitzvahs translate into some sort of Olam Habadik reality? And secondly, some of the mitzvahs we understand that make you a better person. Some of the mitzvahs, are you a better person if you don't wear shatnis or whatever? Vehine heim chotru drachim harbe losei siba v'tam kifi daitam. They tried very hard to find reasons. Ashu rochek midarka atoyim darka chachamim, which is vait from darka atoyim darka chachamim. V'yoyda atoyra leyem bulvad niglu matzpena chachamemis. It's only Yoide Torah who know the Matzponei Chochman Emes, the hidden Chochman Emes. I first want to stop a second before he goes weiter and deals with it, and what he's saying over here, and what is he referring to, and so on. He's describing a class of people called philosophers. somebody who looks at something, asks a reasonable question, struggles to find an answer, and that's a badass. You don't have to call him a philosopher. That's a badass, that he wants to find answers to questions. I mean, the Gemara says sometimes, Gemir Temur is Mir Tezmer, like, Chachma is not just memorizing stuff, it's understanding. So what's the Nakuda? And he's referring to Chachma Yisrael, like the Ralbag, like the Rambam in certain ways, and certain that he has these issues with, and he will, in different places, mention it. I want to try to explain where the hispalgus is. Thinking, asking questions is not an issue. The issue is a differently. If I ask you, I want you to explain to me something. So, explaining means I convert something into basic human language of understanding. Let's give an example now, and let's say in a computer. When you write a program takes what you put in and converts it to things that, to machine language, or to another language, then it's converted to machine language. It keeps going until at one point it's converted into turn something on, turn something off. That's the computer understands only one thing, turn on, turn off. I need to convert things into that. I have certain understandings of what's right, what's normal. If somebody asks me, how does a car work? And I tell them, well, the wheels roll, the pressure of the explosion pushes a piston, and so on. Each of these pieces, he understands, they're there, and b'meila, I'm describing the car in terms that make sense to him. If I were to tell him that there are six dwarfs inside that pull and push, once upon a time, that would be a very logical answer. Since today people don't have dwarfs, it's not something. It doesn't translate anything that makes sense to him. So a human being has certain things that make sense to them. They're born with certain things. They grow up with certain hanochas and certain very basic axioms. Either they're born that way, either we're born with certain axioms, or just simple experience at our earliest stage brought it in. And b'meila, we have all of these nekudas sitting there. So when somebody comes along and says to me, what's the right way to act? Well, we'll translate it. So let's take an example. What are the activities, the basic good and bad activities that I can relate to? So I grow up, things that are hard, harsh, hot, cold are bad. Things that come with big force, somebody hits me, those are bad, painful, and they're pleasant experiences. If that's all I have, the only way I can understand good and bad is something that translates to that. So I'll say, if you annoy somebody, he might come and hit you. If people hit other people, everybody hurts. I need to keep translating all of those inyanim into language, into my machine language, and what makes sense to me. There's a reason why all of Chachma is called Mishlei. Mishlei is a sefer of Chachma, because at the end of the day, Chachma is translating things into things that I'm familiar with and makes sense to me. There are certain things that don't make sense to me because they're not physical. I haven't been brought up with them as realities, and they'll never get translated. The philosophers he refers to start with hanochas of seichel. Let's take the things that are built into a human brain as such and translate everything into that. So if it makes sense, it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, then it doesn't make sense. But the critical piece is it has to make sense. So let's give an example. Engineering can be translated into computer language. Architecture, interior decorating, can't. You can input into the language of any machine if your program is sophisticated enough, the stresses and strains on a building and the pressures and so on, and it can give you the information. That's because it's of the same nature. To try to put into a computer to design a building that should be nice, beautiful, there's no language in metal that picks up on that. So when I start with the hanacha that right and wrong morally can only be things that people that are built into me as a physical being, then I'm short-circuiting the Torah, and it creates tremendous distortions to try to get it that way. One of the problems we have when you reach out to somebody to be makar of him, if the way you try to explain it is that all mitzvahs can be shown to have great benefit for you, there are two problems. First of all, some of them are a very, very long stretch, and you really, really are stretching it out of context to show the person that it's good because it translates to good. And worse than that is, basically, you're trapping the Torah in a bubble of here and now, because that's what you're saying. You're sort of going along with the same hanacha and saying everything here is going to, it has to be part and parcel of the physical reality you're part of. I once heard from somebody, from a Chacham Echad, tremendous insight. It says in Vayikra, it says in Medrash that you're supposed to teach Vayikra to little kids. It says Yavo Tahorim Yom De Torah, and it's usual in Yishlaim. I don't know here the minig, but Yishlaim the minig is they start off Vayikra, the first parash they teach kids Vayikra. And I still remember the niggun for how many times my kids, you know, with the sapoda, vesoris, sapoda. It sort of keeps going round and round. But they teach them the parasha, and then they go to Bereishis, to be yoytzei to the Medrash. So I once heard from someone a fascinating insight. He said in Pshat Yavo Torim v'yilmedu v'yasku b'taras, the chelik of Vayikra deals with things that can't be translated into other terms. They have to become part of a child's basic tfisa. Tahar and Tomei are not concepts that can translate into pleasant for human beings or unpleasant for human beings. It doesn't. It's its own reality. It's a basic point. Tomei, Tahar. Kosher and treif and so on. All those inyanim of taris and karbonis and so on, they need to become part of a child's basic vocabulary. Like, these are terms that are meaningful in their own right. And at a young age, a child still picks up those things. A child who is 6 or 5 and sees everybody eating with forks and knives doesn't ask why he's a fork and knife unless he's out to make his parents' life miserable. But as far as a natural question, it's not. You eat with a fork and knife, of course, how else would you eat? And then when he gets older and he walks into a Chinese restaurant and he sees somebody starting with chopsticks, he says, well, why do Chinese people eat with chopsticks? And the answer, because just like you eat with a fork and knife, chopsticks, doesn't ring well, because normal is fork and knife. And vice versa, the kid who goes up Chinese and comes, then it's normal for people to eat with chopsticks. It's an Ebola who why did they eat with fork and knives? And it's the same, because this is normal and this is different. The normal, the tahar means they don't have any other things put in yet. So tum and tahar is going to have to trim. It doesn't translate anything. It is. It's a metzias. When he gets older, his question is going to be, is this tahar? Is this tummy? Which class does it belong to? But the musagim are there. So the first point is, that's the point that chachmas, the difference between the so-called philosophers were they looked for answers within the elements that we can identify within ourselves, within our existence. And it's wrong. You're making a premise that Torah can go that direction, and it can't. On the other hand, what he speaks about, the Yodei Torah Vilvad Niglu Matzpeine Chacham Vemis, means they have an understanding of another aspect, another metzias And the Mela, a lot of things translate into that Metzias. So the first point that he's sort of subtly knocking, it's not even, it's just sort of sweeping under the rug this point, but it's a very important point to him, that it's trying to give ideas and understandings, that by putting it down as a given, that you can translate Torah totally into things that make sense within the context of our world, is setting yourself up for failure, because it's wrong. I mean, you can come up a little here, a little there, but at the end of the day, it's not the right answer. Okay. Now he says, first point is, V'af ki min ha-roi shal ha-chashav shal ha-sam klal. Ki dov ha-zeh ma-shroi tzun lo-seh siva mechayem s'mechal ha-dvarim. Ilo yinu roi'im sh'nosnu lo-no siva b'chal ha-dvarim ha-tivim ha-pchusim o-id. Ha-yimut lo-leinu lo-seh s'lev al-shay lo-sam. He says, the first thing is, and this is, and this is another... There's another nekuda. When somebody asks a question like this, you know, ma avodah zos lachem? What's the? Thank you very much. When a person asks a question, there's a certain angle. When a person comes along and he says, Torah doesn't make any sense. So let's analyze the validity of that point. The point is, it doesn't make any sense, and therefore, chas v'shalom, it's nonsense, it's rubbish. So, if it was true that everything in nature and in the world made sense, and I understood it, so I look around, everything, I understand everything, and this is one thing I don't understand. So, it doesn't. It's a kasha. The not making sense by not understanding it is a real question, and I'm entitled to that question. So if a doctor who's a very experienced doctor sees a kid come in and the kid is groaning and moaning, this hurts, that hurts, the other hurts, and the doctor says, I never in my life saw a disease that has those symptoms, especially 2 days before the test or something, and the implication is that the chances for him who's seen every disease and can tell what it is and knows all the symptoms, a disease with unusual symptoms is mistama, not a disease. It's probably a put on. That's a reasonable that's a reasonable conclusion. But if the person is not a doctor, he's very rarely see anything more than a sniffle, and somebody comes and this is that hurts, and the person says it doesn't make any sense. What do you mean it doesn't make any sense? I one of my boys was very, very articulate at a young age and very argumentative with his brothers. And, I mean, he must have been 3 or 4, and he was having an argument with one of his siblings, and he says, in my entire life I never heard anything like it. You know, and the truth is that, and if we're 50 or 60, so is it so much more? But it was like funny. I was saying his entire life he was, you know, he was a little wisp of a thing. The Shiloh would make sense if you're telling me that you know, and everything that you looked at you understood. So, my high. So he says, even then he says, it still would not be a raya from the fact, if a great doctor doesn't know something about astrophysics, it's not a raya to that, but at least we would say wherever he put his heart and mind to research, he understands it. So he said, even though there would be a difference, and we'd say we understand things in this world, then the question as a question would have validity. But that's not true either. The people don't have not even close to an understanding of how it all works. They couldn't begin to give. And he says, don't look at the roof from Chachmei Teva, because the things they do uncover is one out of a thousand. And it's also not 100% clear. And this stands true today also. Yes, we've discovered genetics and the genome and everything like that. We're still I don't know how many light years away from understanding how do genes put together a person. All a gene does is it's a template for a protein. That's all it is for proteins, for enzyme, you know, for enzyme type protein. That's all it is. Where's the plan in what the person is supposed to look like, and when you stop growing, and where it stops growing, and all of that. We know a lot, and as much as we know, we're still missing. So when someone says, "Oh, it can't be," but it is. People walk and talk and have children, and even though we haven't figured out the system, it still works. You know, with or without knowing, it works. So you see that in the world around you, there's an amazing amount you don't know. So why is your not knowing mechayev something about it? If I'd come along and tell somebody, I thought of a great religion, you know, we'll do this, this, and this, and this, so the person can say, it doesn't make sense. That's fair enough, because I'm coming from my seichanda. I'm coming someplace else, but the person is saying I have a pirch on it because it doesn't make sense. Okay? The Reb Lezer Gordon liked to I don't know, model things, but design things and so on. Designed a mikveh in town. I don't know which town it was. I don't know where it was at the time. They built it the way he planned it out, and it fell in. And he was devastated, and he says, it's a pirch on a mefurash Rambam. He says, he built it with what he thought was the Rambam, the way the Rambam said. He said, and this is a very big kash on the Rambam. The fact that we don't know, don't understand, we don't understand anything. It's not as if we look at things and we know them clearly. So he says, "V'imad davar zeh b'dvar mativim kol shekein b'dvar maloikim amitzah loik shechayv adam lifol." L'chatchila, we're telling you, mitzvahs are not coming from with the context this way. It's coming from another context. Lo mayase pula zoy zase pula cheres k'shem shlo neda gufa v'tayra shukim bo'el mazeh lo neda ala shleimus. He says, you don't know what a person's body is as it is. So certainly to know about what makes him Arim HaSholem, which means adding another dimension to it, we certainly don't have it. And if a person wouldn't be constructed the way he's constructed, every piece and puzzle of the puzzle is significant, and we don't understand why each and every. So the fact that we don't understand it is not at all a problem. Normally, if something is very simple, if a guy comes to me and explains to me how he's going to make a business of something and it's going to make a lot of money, and it's not a complicated thing, but it doesn't make any sense, it's a kasha, because I mean, the pieces are simple, and if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. But I'm coming along and saying, these are the things that bring a person to Olam Haba. Well, why is it that it should be taifis with the seichel? V'hine lahoyis is a shaylas chachamim shebchiyavon v'tshuvasa. It's not a shaylas chachamim that we're mechuyiv to answer. Im loyishre noisen lan esivas chadvar mativim barav tzmachim, v'dav azein in nimtzah. So the Maral says, and this is a klal derived, actually essay on the Rambam. Questions are part of chachma. A question is supposed to lead you to some sort of point. When you ask a question, you're pointing at something. You're saying, well, if it doesn't make sense, then this or this. If a question is going no place, then it's not mechayev a tshuva, a question that's not pointing in any direction. It's not giving you, it's not broadening your point significantly. A question is supposed to either slug up what you said, it's supposed to show that there must be a separate case for this. It has to do something. When I come along and say I don't understand, and I'm not meant to understand, then the question doesn't require an answer. Aval darche chachamim yoyde atoyim atzpino leinalim was a tamid al darche atoyra. So he says, I do want, however, to teach you and give to understanding a little bit about it. So Lemaisi says like this, The question as a pircha, well, if we don't understand any mitzvahs and it doesn't make any sense, then how could it be, is not a question. But it is Torah. There's Torah to be had in understanding the world of time and mitzvahs. Is there a time for mitzvahs? What are they? How do we understand time and mitzvahs? So he says, I want to explain to you, I'm not coming to answer that question, because there's no need to answer that question. That question is not pointing in any direction, but it is an important need to understand it. It's a sugya, time and mitzvahs is a sugya, and we need to address it and understand it. So now he's going to start with a very famous chazal. This chazal, it's a Mishnah, and a medrash in different places in different ways, but this is a Mishnah in two places, and this is the yisoid for this inyan. What the Mishnah means is up for that needs to be understood. But let's tanan v'perkei noim din ha'aymal ken tzipa yagir achmecha. If a person says Yibayna Shalom, just like you had rachmanis on a bird and you gave a mitzvah ken tzipa, so too yishav rachmanis on us. One, two, or the chazan says val toiv yizach shmecha, the good that you do should be your legacy. Maidim, maidim, or if he says mine twice, mishaskin I say. The Chazal had, in the old days, the Chazan had some latitude in what he could say for Davin, like piyutim. You could, as long as you kept to the seder that Chazal gave and to the main point, you could add different nuances. There were tkufis and Chazal when they were apikarsim lemasul, they held up shtei reshuyos and so on. So maidim, maidim, and therefore all of these three things. A person is suspect, the Mishashkai, so you shut him up and you get him off the bima. Ukama the Gemara, says, Maidim, Bishlam, and Maidim, Maidim, Mechse, Keshe, Rishuyes. Saying Maidim twice looks like there's two gods. Valtoiv Yizach Hashmecha, and the Persians did believe in two gods, and that's why he was very suspect. Valtoiv Yizach Hashmecha, Nami, Dimashma, Altoiv, Layla, Ra. Utnan, Chayav, Levar, Chalaro, Kshem, Shavar, Chalatoiv. Ella, Alkan, Sipa, Yagir, Achmecha. What are you going to do with Alkan, Sipa? My time alone. So we have two answers in Gemara. Pliga b'atrei marav marava. Rabbi Yosef Abin, Rabbi Yosef Azvida. Chadam emnei shematal kina maisabreishis. He's creating kina between different parts of the natural world. In other words, we're saying, Rabbi Yosef, you had rachmanis on a tzipur. And what about on a sheep? And what about on a fish? One. A second one, v'chadamam neitsha oisem midos of rachm ve'en al gzeres. He's making a Kadosh Baruch Hu's midas as if they would be rachmim, and they really are gzeres. Now, this is going to be a huge machlokes here. A very famous machlokes, the Rambam and Ramban. He's going to mention it. He's going to speak about it. He disagrees with both of them, but this is really the makor and shoresh for the musig of time and mitzvahs. But exactly what it means, it needs a beer. What does it mean? She'oisim midos of rachm v'enem al gzeres. Kadosh Baruch Hu, midos rachm is a very, very important midah by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ubir in yizeh. She'ein loima. So he's going to explain, the Maral always does this. The Maral, part of what the Maral tried to do was not only to speak about this point that he's speaking, but to be mazbe divrei chazal and to learn them up correctly. So he says like this. She'ein loima kentzibi girach mecha. The mashma kamitzav tziva shemisbach mitzat shumerachim al ken tzipur ubeze oise chiluk upirut ben animtzoyim ad she'ein ha'olam echad ki loma yirachim al ken tzipur lirachim al minim acherim. Okay, the vadei bim gzeirah shegazu chachmose kach ein ze kushe ki kach in gzeirah shegazu beze dafke bloi bache kama shaminim chalokim ba'afsan sheze min ze veze min acher. Let's talk about this outside a few minutes. There are two points that Maral is making to understand this. And we need to understand both of them. Both are very fundamental in Yanim. One, what does it mean you create kina in Maisa Bereishis? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the world, for instance, let's give an example. Imagine I have a group of people that I'm friendly with. So each, I could be friends with some of them, all of them, none of them, and my attitude towards them will be in that direction. So him I like a lot, I'll hang out with him, invite him a lot. Him I don't like so much, I won't be helpful, and so on and so forth. That's because these are different elements. Imagine somebody has a corporation. He owns a company, and he has workers at critical junctions. Somebody's doing the books, somebody's doing the marketing, somebody's doing the development, research development, and somebody's manufacturing it. I need all of these pieces for the company to sell. I will not favor one over the other, except for, yes, if I think this guy's doing a fantastic job in marketing, this guy's doing a lousy job in accounting, I'm not going to, if I have a car and one part is broken, I can take care of the other one as much as possible, it's not going to work. So it doesn't make sense to redo the engine and leave the tires flat. It doesn't make any sense because it's meant to run as one unit. The morale in many places makes this point. The Achdus, the world is meant to run as one unit. All the different pieces are pieces of one unit. The Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reflected in the fact that it's meant to click together. The world does not consist of many pieces, it consists of many parts, and there's a world of difference. It's like the difference between saying I'm with a crowd of people or I have a team. A crowd of people, I take it or leave it, more or less one, the other, and so on. Masha'en Kain, a team means each one is critical. That's one yesod that he's saying. The second one is, there are two ways, when we speak about rachamim versus gzeira, we're speaking about two different things. And let's understand, we're not talking about mean and good. Gzeira means HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world in a certain way. Why and how the pieces work together, a little bit we understand here and there, certainly not the big picture, certainly not now. Just like a human being, we understand many bits and pieces, but many bits and pieces we don't understand. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that tigers should eat, I don't know what they eat, who they eat, zebras or whatever it is, and why giraffes should eat grass and elephants should be big and ants should be small, I'm clueless. But Lemaisa, the world needs each and every piece of that. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the word gzeira means to cut up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut the world into different pieces. And each and every piece has its tafkid, its gvulis, and its shortcomings, and so on and so forth. Now, there's a second hanhaga, I can say within the context of this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in and treats one like this, one like this, one like this. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that a ken tzipor, you have to chase away the bird and take the eggs, is the pshat that this is built into the system? In other words, just like eagles eat birds, and nobody knows, and you can't say, well, it's terrible, this is the way it was designed to start with. The Rambam says, the Moreh Nevuchim, it's a silly question, is it better to be an elephant or an ant? If it's better to be an elephant, then why weren't all ants elephants? If it's better to be an ant, why weren't all elephants ants? The answer is, each piece is a piece that's needed for it. And we know it sometimes a little bit, we understand something, we don't. That's called gzeira. Rachmim is when it's finished, and it's there, and you step in, and you change something. Marshall, a person. What my chiyuvim are and my expectations of me, there's a shahara for that. That's din. That's gzeira. Kach Baruch Hu said a person should with tzitzis and tzillin and learn and not eat this and so on and so forth. Rachmim is when it's not going well, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in and he gives me credit and he allows me to and he allows me to take longer than I should have taken, and so on and so forth. Rachamim is an intervention, the system, and Gezerah is the system. So he says, if I come along and I take one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merachem, but he doesn't build the world like that. Ken Tzipper is part of the picture of the world. Kina Maisebreishis means there's a dissonance between the pieces. One piece gets more than its tafkid than the other piece. Not that it's a different tafkid. Different tafkid is built into the world. And that doesn't create kina, because just like the big piece clicks into the big square, and a small piece clicks into the small square, and it's not, and it doesn't create any, that's not kina, that's what it is. But if you enlarge a little bit a square to make room for another one, so you tell me that the pieces are not going to click in. You didn't design it to click in, but you're giving changes. So that's the concept of kina, my separations. And the difference between Gzeira and the Rachmim is, one is the system itself, and one is an intervention in the system. And the best muscle of it really, really is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world to be run by Din. And it's not really a day of Rachmim. We're Ma'or Rachmim afterwards, so to speak, on top of it. But it's Be'etzim it's a Yom HaDin. Mereshis is Zoyis Hadato. This is the way it was meant to be. This is it. This is the world. On top of that, we ask for Rachmim. Yom Kippur, we ask for Tshuva, for Rachmim. All these things are things that come in afterwards. But it's very important to understand the relationship between what's meant over here by Gzera, what's meant by Rachmim. We're not talking about an inherent mitzvah of Rachmim within the Bria. We're talking about intervening and sort of overriding some mitzvahs and so on and so forth. Let's just review the pieces, because I don't want to go to the next piece. Next piece starts. It's going with the second Madiyama that says that it's Gzeiras, not Rachmim. I don't want to confuse it. So let's just go over the points that we made here, because they're important points. The first point is his big issue with the question, the way it's phrased by philosophers that are either secular or coming with a secular mindset. The point of that, what's wrong with that question, is that you're asking the following question: Torah does not make sense to me. Well, the word sense means I cannot translate it to my axioms that are either built in or gotten at a very young age. That's correct, because Torah is coming from a different place. Secondly, that fact that you can't translate it itself is not a pirchut anything. Someone told me, I had a chaver in a Israel, an Englishman. His father had a yeshiva during World War II in London. There were very few bachurim yeshiva in those days, I think his father, this boy's father, is a yekir, and I think the yeshiva had yekirs because they were kinder transport. I don't know the details of it. But there was one boy there, a Yakish boy, that was particularly, very Yakish-minded, and told German self-confidence and this and that. One day he disappears from yeshiva. Disappeared. 6 weeks later he shows up, back again. She asked him what happened. He said, well, he heard something so outrageous that he left yeshiva. He decided it's all wrong. And after thinking about it for a while, he now came up with the right answer, and he's back in. So, they asked him, I'd like to hear the apikorsis, and I'd like to hear the tshuva. So he said, you were teaching us that if you have an eved and you have one pillow, you have to give it to the eved. He said, that absolutely is wrong. It makes no sense whatsoever. And there was a pirch on the religion, walked off. He said, no, and well, if I had the mic yourself, and what did you come back with? So he said, he thought about it. He said, this man obviously is not of great economic means. He has only one pillow. He says, and you spendthrift, you're going out to buy a vadim where you can only afford one pillow? Where are your priorities? You give it away to your Evan. And it's silly to us. It sounds sort of fun, because here you have somebody whose mind is a tiny little box, and the only thing that makes sense to him, the only midatayv is a spendthrift. Everything has to reduce itself to being a spendthrift or industrious person. And Baruch Hashem is able to translate this mitzvah into that. And so we look at it and we laugh. But the truth is, all of it is like that. And when somebody comes in, and that's why it does make it hard. I want to Rishonim say, what is the answer to somebody's coming from outside? The Rishonim say that me. If people see Klal Yisrael keeping Mishpatim in a way that brings honor, in other words, if somebody sees me, I'm honest, a word is a word, I'm a mensch, and so on and so forth, then he's willing to give me credit that maybe my tefillin and tzitzis also mean something. Then when I speak about higher worlds and something like that, listen, I see what half of Torah has done for you. If this half of the moon looks good, I'm willing to give you credit. The other half is also looks good. But if it's not the case, then the person is certainly right to ask himself, mechateser. You know, if the part I see doesn't look terribly great, if the part that I'm meant to understand doesn't look great, then what's the other one? I'm trying to say that a mishpatim, from mishpatim, I'm down in the chukim, both mitzad the Torah and mitzad people. So he takes issue on that. Secondly, he says, the idea that if something doesn't make sense to you, it can't be, is mufra from the fact that so much of the world doesn't make sense. There are some real serious issues in many areas that we struggle with to understand in sciences that are absolutely distressful. They're very, very hard to understand. But it still exists. The world exists. And so you see that not understanding is not a percha. So he starts with the Chazal over here, the Chazal of Al Ken Tzipi Agirech Mecha, and he says he brings the two truths in Gemara, and what we saw today was the explanation of the first one of Oisik Kinnah Maisa Gracious. And we said that what the Maral is saying here is based on two points, two Yesodis that we have to explain. One is the Musig that the entire Bria is meant, just like there's an Achdus between Elyon and Tachtonim, the world is supposed to be Echot with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's supposed to, the world between itself, all the pieces are also supposed to be Echot. That's the side of Beinan L'Chaver Baran L'Mokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, it's a pircha on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus if the world is in disarray. The world is parts and pieces, but it's not a lot of pieces, it's parts. And therefore, anything that we do which takes one part out of where it's supposed to be and then it's pieces, if it could be here or there or whatever, it's, so the kinna mizebracious is a seeming distortion of the parts, and then there's no more echot. And the second point that it's based on is there's a difference between rachmim and gzera. Gzera means this is the input into the bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided the Bria should be, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided a person should have a nose and eyes and ears and a mouth and this and that, and it could have been this way, it could have been differently, but why it's this and not something else, that's called Xer. There's no answer to that. But once there is a world with a clear Mahalach, and now you're going and taking pieces and moving them and playing with them, and you're favoring one of the other, that distorts the Tzuret Abriya, and that's something that's wrong bet. So we're holding by the second pshat, where he's going to explain Sha'isim Yidois of Rachmei and Alexeris. That would be, yes, David. I'm sorry?
There's
The kina means
the lamb is not going to be jealous, right? The lamb is not going to be jealous that if we say that Shem and Rahman is on the seaboard.
Kina means that
it's for us to understand.
Correct.
Yes. One part that's more important than another.
Exactly. Correct. Or else what happens, kinna is always when there's an overlapping of rishuyos. In other words, the musician is never mekana the doctor for getting a Nobel Prize. It's because two different worlds. His world's music, his world's medicine. But when the world's... kinna is when I think I should have... This should belong to me, and you think it should belong to you. When, what, or whatever, right.
It does belong.
What?
Or it does.
Yeah, or it does. Yes, or worse. So you're right. But you're right. All of these are our tefillah and understanding of it. Correct. 100%. Okay. Later. Okay.